Right, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Psalm 105. And we're going to read through Psalm 105. In my Bible it says, "A song of God's majesty and love, a praise of David." What a wonderful title to put on a psalm. A praise hymn. And we've certainly been praising God today. Psalm 145. And I'm going to look at the whole psalm because there's so many wonderful verses that come out of this. I'm just going to do a little overview. And I was so blessed this morning as I was studying this. I looked at it and I fully intended to bring in a different word, but God helped me to speed write a message to share today, because he just caused me to just be in awe at the power of his word. "I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. And the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him, and he will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever." God bless his wonderful holy word. What a lot of verses. What a lot to take in. But so many verses that are such an encouragement, but also such a direction for us in how we need to live our daily lives. Verse 2, "Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever." Every day, can rain or shine, joy or sorrow, sickness or health, I will choose to bless you. We say I'll thank you, we'll say I'll praise you, but every day I will bless you. And in my Bible I've got a little word wealth that sometimes expands on a word. And it's good to look at the word in the concordance, but I did a bit of a cheats version here. And it says, bless, to salute, to congratulate, to thank, to praise, to kneel down in order to speak or receive words of blessing. And whether that is to God or to a monarch, to a king or a queen, but you kneel down because you kneel down in reverence, you kneel down in worship, and you either speak your blessing or you expect to receive your blessing. And it's a deliberate act of worshipful thanks to God. So did it occur to you that you could or you should bless God? Because we ask him to bless us. We say, Lord, bless us in this place today. Lord, bless us, bless our children, bless our marriage. Beautiful time yesterday in prayer, in Dee and Andrew's wedding, we often pray number 627, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we were asked to pray that together as a congregation of friends and family, and put Andrew and Dee's name in the beginning. We ask the Lord to bless us because he is the blesser. And his first action when he created Adam and Eve, his first action to them was to bless them. He says in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply, and then he goes on and he says he gives them dominion over all the earth and everything else, because he's God. Every day I will bless you. I've got to be honest, that isn't always the first thing. I'm always thankful to God, but I'd never looked upon it as the fact that I could say, God, I want to bless you today. I want to put a smile on the face of God today. I want to give you a happy heart like you give me a happy heart. I want to bless you even when I've got a heavy heart. I want to bless you when I'm creaking so much I don't feel as if I can get out of bed. And we've got a few of those today. That's why they're not here with us. But it's wonderful that we can bless the blesser. It's wonderful that God receives our praise and our love and our thankfulness as a blessing. I thought that was absolutely beautiful when I looked at that. And I thought, God, you accept what we offer you back, the meagre things that we can give back to you, you accept as a blessing. And that really made me feel good this morning. And then I went on and I went a bit further down this psalm and I looked at verse 5. I will meditate on the glorious splendour of your majesty and on your wondrous works. And I thought, we use that word meditate in so many different ways, and sometimes you just have images of kooky things going on and doing meditation and sitting there with your legs crossed and everything, and it doesn't mean that at all. To meditate means to murmur, whether it's in pleasure or in anger, and it means to ponder, and it means to speak, and it means to study, it means quite a few different things. I will meditate. I will choose daily to spend time focusing on God for who he is, not for what he can do for me. And that's something that we were created to do. We were created by God for God. We are to his praise and to his glory. And we have to choose, because he gave us a free choice, we have to choose to do that and to be that for him. Let me tell you, you can't disappoint God. If you're not doing it, God doesn't say, you've let me down, you've failed me. Because we're going to look further on in here at another verse. But he waits for you. He longs for you. He desires for you to want to spend that time with him. Just as when you love somebody and they've perhaps gone somewhere, or they've maybe even gone only out of the house for a couple of hours, and you can't wait for them to come back because you want to spend time with them. God longs for us to spend time with him. And the words that I remember Andrew preached a little while back, the words has been the apple of God's eye, and he said, look closely, right up close and personal into somebody's eyes, and when you can see yourself reflected in their pupil, that's what this phrase means. We're the apple of God's eye. When God looks at us, he sees a little reflection of himself through Jesus. And that's amazing. We should think, wow, this is incredible. I will meditate. Turn that around. I'm just going to spend time. We've been encouraged to read through the book of Matthew together, for those who want to do it, chapter by chapter, with a little devotional, and all that is a little somebody's thoughts on that chapter, day by day. You are studying, you are meditating, you are spending time focusing on God. When you do that, don't do it as a chore. Don't do it as I have to do this, because Linda's just said from the front, I've got to do this as well as read the devotional. That's not what it's about. Say, God, I want you to speak to me through this today. I want you to show yourself, and I want to just know you more. You're not doing it to please God. I'll tell you that as well. You can come to church and sit in the pew. You can read your Bible. You can do all sorts of things, right? And they're all good things. But that's not what pleases God. What pleases God is your heart towards Him, open and receptive, because all you can give Him, we sang that song, I lay my all before you now. He just wants us. It's not how many times you do it, how many chapters you read, how many prayers you say before 10 o'clock, how many... Let me tell you, God wants your honesty. He wants the real you, because He thinks, He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows what you're going through. I found myself reading this today, and I'd been praying, Lord, help me to bring a message. Speak to me through this. And as I was reading it, I was conscious that I was also working out some other things to say. And then He reminded me, you've just asked me to do something. You just said to me, I submit to you this morning. I laid my all before Him this morning. And then I picked me back up and started doing things with me that He didn't particularly want me to do. Not bad things. Not bad things at all. But He said, you just told me you were going to lay your all before me and you were just going to focus on me. Now try and work everything out. And that is what is such a blessing. God just wants us for ourselves. It's by choice we declare the wonderful things of God. Regardless of our circumstances, wherever we may be, our will, our determination, our intellect to tell us that we need to recall the beauty and glory of God and to bless Him. And it's easy to do it when you're in church and you're away from everything else and you're away from your pressures of your family, the pressures of work, the things that are going on around you. You're sat in the doctor's or the dentist and you've got the anxieties coming on around you. But God is there in the midst of all that. And He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden. We've got that scripture written down over there. I will give you rest. Just look at me. We say that sometimes to our children. I often say it when because we've got 3 2-year-olds and we had them all together when we were away camping last week. Invariably, at some point or another, one of them would do what 2-year-olds do, and they'd throw a wobbly, and they'd didn't even have to have a tantrum. It might be a meltdown of some description. And I would say, look at me. Look at Nan. look at me now. Okay. It's okay. Calm down. And sometimes I could sort things out and sometimes I couldn't. But God says to us, it's okay. Calm down. Look at me. Look at me. Meditate on me. Focus on me. Steady me. Speak to me. I'm here. And I can sort it out. Verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Oh, do you know, this broken world needs those words and that understanding so much. How blessed are we that already know? How blessed are we that we've received those words, that we can say, I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Saviour. I was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus died for my sin. God loves me while I didn't even know Him. I love Him because He first loved me. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. So many people think that God is sat on His throne, waiting to judge them with a big stick. Yes, He's a righteous God. Yes, there will be righteous judgment. and there will be mercy and there will be compassion. For God so loved the world, he sent his only Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It is not God's will that one should perish. If it was God's heart to sit on a throne and judge us and condemn us and to hit us over the head with everything we've done wrong, why would he sacrifice his Son Jesus? Why? Why would he send his beloved Son to suffer in our place if he didn't care? There's people with anger and there's people with frustrations of what's going on. And I mean, the ancient Greeks, they would think that the gods would sit on Mount Olympus and be looking down at people, and they'd intervene and they'd interfere and pass judgment. You know, that's myth. That is mythology. We have one true God. We have not got a religion, we've got a relationship. We have the only relationship with the true God that doesn't demand sacrifice of us apart from surrender. The sacrifice was made for us. And when the world gives up and says, that's it, you've fallen down too many times, you've messed up too much, you're too addicted, you're too far gone, there's nothing can get you back. How many times have you been told the same thing over and over again? I wash my hands of you. God holds out his hand and he says, we can do it. We can do this. Let's try again. And I recall that the feelings that I was absolutely broken more than 20 years ago, 23 years ago, I was absolutely broken when I realized that I needed Jesus because I was a sinner. And the fact that I was a sinful woman, I knew that there was things about me that wasn't good, and I knew that there was stuff in me that wasn't nice, and I knew what was going on inside me when the outside can paint a wonderful picture. The outside can mask so much, but you, each and every one of us, knows our deepest thoughts, the things that go on our mind, the things that are in our heart, the things that nobody, not even those closest to us, know. God knows. And I was broken to realize that God knew. I was a sinful woman, and I could not rub out the stains that marred me. And it didn't matter how much I tried, and people in the world will say, oh, you need positive thinking. You need to go to this mindfulness lesson. You need yoga. You need so-and-so's advice. You need to try this remedy. But it doesn't reach into the core of your being. It doesn't reach into you. I knew who and what I was. God knew who and what I was, and he knew that what I needed was forgiveness. And what I needed was a new start and a new life. And it was Jesus that made the way. But what was incredible then was that even though I had a total assurance of the truth of that, that Jesus Christ did something in me that was verging on physical, because I felt the difference immediately, I could not let go of the things that stained and marred me. I couldn't, and I still struggle sometimes to let go of the things that I do wrong. And I say, God, I'm sorry for this. You know me. Here I am again. I'm doing this again. I'm doing that. But the one thing that I will say breaks through everything is the word of God. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions, that's our sin and our rebellions from us. I heard that very early on as a Christian, very early on after I'd come to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour, and I dared to believe it. And it's hard sometimes to look past the situation that you found yourself in, particularly when you know that you're in a place that you shouldn't be, whether it's in your mind, whether it's in your heart, whether it's with your feet, whether it's with your hands, whether it's with your eyes, and you think, I shouldn't really be doing this, I shouldn't really have thought that, I shouldn't really have said this, I shouldn't really be here. It's called conviction. The Holy Spirit in us convicts us, doesn't condemn us. In Jesus Christ we are not condemned. It's called conviction. And the conviction comes so that we can put ourselves right again with the Lord. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's slow to anger and he's great in mercy. The reality of God's grace and compassion is he gives us time to repent. He gives us time to come to him. And life goes on and things happen to that can engulf us, can threaten us. And David says in this psalm, over and over again, I will extol you, I will bless you, I will praise you, I will choose to remember you. I will thank you and remember you daily, because therein lies my strength. We were in a field yesterday at Dee and Andrew's wedding. A beautiful field in the sunshine. It was pretty nice in the rain, but let me tell you, it was muddy. It was absolutely a mud bath where you entered in and out of the field. If you wanted to try and climb over the stones that were at the very edge of the path, you risked breaking your neck because they were slippery. And if you wanted to wallow, now if my name was Peppa Pig, I'd have been in heaven. But it wasn't Peppa Pig. And in my lovely diamante sandals, especially for the occasion, the water flowed in, the water flowed back out again. And as I walked, I collected dirt. I hoisted up the hem of my dress so that only my ankles and my feet got dirty. That was the idea. I got home, my feet were so black, I washed my sandals and I washed my feet in the bath. But we are like that in real life. We don't have to physically see the dirt that attaches itself to us. But we can be like pigs wallowing in mud in some of the stuff we do. Because as far as this word is telling us, we need to focus on the Lord. And I could go home and I could put something on the telly, and then I could pick up a book, and then something else will come into my head. I can do whatever else. There's nothing wrong with doing any of those things, let me tell you, okay? But it's what you watch, it's what you read, it's what you do. Because when you read something, you can't unread it. When you hear something, you can't unhear it. And when you speak something, you can't unspeak it. So this is just a reminder. Be aware. Be aware of those things. But then it's also a reminder saying God knows those things. And he knows what we do. He knows what we're going to do. And he's gracious. And he's full of compassion, great in mercy. And he says, okay, I'm sorry, God, I know. Give it to me, throw it into that sea of forgetfulness, and start again. And don't try and fish it out. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing, verse 16. Before that, let's go to verse 14. That's nice. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all those who were bowed down. Along the same thing, we were pretty bowed down with our rain yesterday. And this word bowed, it means curve. And I interpret that as being bent over or stooped. Brought low, maybe by life and by circumstances. And it's lovely to think that the Lord will hold you up, will pick you up, will unbend you. There's a lady, I can't remember her name, there's a lady I used to see walking past quite often, and her son is very bowed and stooped over, so much so that you've probably seen around the village, so much so that he has to turn his head sideways to look at people and talk to people. Lovely, lovely chap. They live just up the road from us and his name's escaping me at the minute. And he's very bowed. Well, his mum was in hospital a few months back. And I was talking to him, I asked him how he was getting on and if he needed any help with anything, because it isn't easy for him. Even carrying stuff, and that can be difficult, because he walks so quickly though, and his mum's tiny, she's like a little bird, but she walks really fast as well. And he said, no, I get used to it. He said, I don't even think about it now, I just get on with it. Do you know, we can walk in a bowed and stooped way because we expect to be walking like that, because sometimes we can expect, well, this is what life has put on me, and this is my life. And God says, no, I've come to uphold you, and I've come to help you to not have to walk like that. I've come that you can walk uprightly in me through Jesus Christ. And again, I'll say, come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lay your burdens on me. We weren't meant to carry each other's burdens. We weren't meant to carry our own burdens. That doesn't mean we don't care. It means that we can give them to Jesus. God is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. Praise him for that. And now we look at verse 16. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Well, praise God, because if you've got an open hand, it means that you're not hiding anything in it. You open your hand and satisfy. That means you fill it with satisfaction. It means to be full. It means to have enough. It means to have plenty of something. I want plenty of what God's got for me, but I don't know what it is that you desire. Sometimes I don't know what it is that I desire. Sometimes I don't desire the right things. God is not a God who will satisfy the flesh. I'll tell you that now. People say, well, I didn't win the lottery last night. I didn't do so and so. Well, God is all right for you, isn't it? God didn't listen to me. God's not a God that's going to satisfy the flesh. He's a God that satisfies the spirit. And Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. That means take pleasure in the things of the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And I said before, your heart is your intellect, it's your awareness, it's your inner self, it's that core of you, it's your deepest thoughts. And our hearts can be so fickle, but God is so faithful. Delight yourself in the Lord. When you open your hands to give something, it means you're emptying yourself. You're emptying what you've got into somebody else. God wants to give you. He's got an abundance of every good thing, and he wants to pour it into you with his hands wide open. He says, come here. Come here. Alf used to do that sometimes. He'd say, come here. And he'd hold his hand out. You remember Alf, our beloved brother. I mean, it's been a few years now that he's gone to be with the Lord. But he would stand on the step in the charity shop, holding his arm out with his hand clenched shut, and he'd say, come here, I've got something to give you. And it could be anything from a piece of paper to a receipt to a money spider to nothing. And he'd say, and I'd say, what have you got now? And you never quite knew if you wanted to receive it. Well, God's not like that. He doesn't say, come here and hold his hand out with a clenched fist and say, do you want this or not? Surprise! I had a surprise today. I went upstairs to do the glasses of water, and there's a tarantula in the sink. It could even have been a black widow, for all I know. It was rather large. Now, much as I love God's creatures, I don't particularly say I'm fond of them, so I helped him down the plug hole. And I don't care if you think that's cruel, because they're not going to drown in water, because he climbed up it to start with. But I helped him back down for somebody else to have the pleasure of meeting him next time, okay? I didn't put bleach or anything down there, so I wasn't that cruel. But God says, come to me. Look. Look at what I've got in my hands for you. I love you. I love you so much. I'm going to open your eyes. How come I still get disgruntled and dissatisfied when I know that? It's because I'm made of flesh. And it's because while I'm this side of heaven, I will never be completely satisfied, because I will always have a wandering eye and a lusting heart, and the things of the world will draw me, because that is us. Which is why I'm so thankful to God for his word, because it's a living word. He says, I know. Let me remind you. Let me use David to remind you. This man who also did loads of things wrong. This man who even got somebody killed because of lust. Let me tell you, I asked him to write this for you because I put it in his heart and his mind to do it. It's an inspired word of God. Thank God for his reminding and his revealing word. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. That's verse 18. And didn't I the other week say Jeremiah 33:3, God's telephone number? Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. God says it's okay. Shout out to me when you're having a bit of a struggle. Sometimes, I shared this with Gary and Helen this morning. At 6 o'clock this morning, my eyes didn't focus terribly well. Andrew will tell you, he wakes up in the morning, he's like a little button, he puts on his glasses, he starts to read his Bible. I wake up in the morning, I can just about focus. And he says, why didn't you ever read your Bible? I can't see. Everything's fuzzy, even with my glasses on. I clean my glasses, it's not my glasses, it's my eyes. It's okay. It's okay to be fuzzy sometimes. God reminded me this morning that when he wants me to do something, he will have me to do it. Call me. I called him. I said, I need my eyes to work, God. I need my brain to function, and it's very early, and I need a cup of tea. He said, you can do that yourself. The rest he worked on. Call to me. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. And that just means in trust. There's a few other things it means, but with certainty, with trust. So I'm just going to leave you with the last verses of prayer. And I will pray that my mouth, our mouth, shall speak the praise of the Lord. When we open our eyes in the morning, count your blessings. Count our blessings. I'll make it personal as I say it. When I open my eyes in the morning, I want to count my blessings. When I open my mouth in the morning, I want to speak your blessings. When I open my ears in the morning, I choose not to listen to everything that's going on around me because I want to hear God's blessings. And I want my heart to bless God daily. First thing in the morning, because he blesses me. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that you remind us through so many different ways of your faithfulness, of your compassion, of your mercy. And Father, more than anything, I pray that today this word will have encouraged hearts to not think of themselves as people who've let you down, or feeling cold, or just plain tired, but to know and to understand that as a Father you understand us, as our Creator, you know our intimate parts, our intimate thoughts, our intimate deeds, before we've even done them. And you love us. You love us so much. And you want us to know the fullness of that love. Father, as the psalmist said, create in me a clean heart. Through Jesus Christ, we can have that cleansing. As we pick up the muck and the dirt along the daily routines of our lives, let's not just wait until the morning to come to you and be cleaned up and focused. Remind us through the day. But let us set aside those precious moments, those hallelujah moments, before we even look in the mirror and frighten ourselves. You've seen us. You know us. Let us just say, God, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you for who you are. Jesus, we love you, and we ask this in your precious name. Amen.